Turn in your Bibles with me to Mark 15 for our introduction. We had a women's seminar this weekend, and it was a great success, touching. Anybody that listened to it, the ladies, also guys that maybe were listening in the hallway, but the speakers were excellent. There was Dr. Wanda and Pivey Jensen, and they gave a great ministry. It was beautiful. In this text here, Mark 15, and we'll start from verse 16. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. They called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." You know, the sufferings of Christ are important to us because there's a dimension to it that is more than just human history. There is the mind of God and what God is actually doing through Christ. That this was not a man only, but this was God. God was on the cross. God is being abused by people. And we read in our epistles that this actually was because we needed to be judged by God, that we are the ones that are guilty of sin, and this judgment on Christ is actually a judgment that is on us. So, but we weren't there. Christ was there in our place. We weren't even alive at that time, but it was done for us. When he was mocked and ridiculed, this was actually the judgment on us. And then the purpose of it, because it happened once to him, then actually we are honored. He was judged so that we could be free. Like the two birds in the book of Leviticus, one, the head was wrung off the body, the blood in a bowl. The other bird dipped in the blood and set free, as with Barabbas. Barabbas was the criminal, but he was set free, and Christ was crucified. We could also say that he was mocked so that we would be honored. Look at verse 19. They smote him on the head with a reed. The contrary part would be that we would not be smitten on our head with a reed, but we would be crowned with glory, not thorns, but honor and wisdom and love from God. Verse 19. And they spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him in a mockingly way. That does not happen to us before God. God has, raised us with Christ to inherit honor and be accepted by the Father. So he became poor so we might be rich. He became sin that we might be made righteousness. He was forsaken so we would never be forsaken. He was ridiculed so that we would be honored, spoken well of, be given a place at the table of God, the place of honor, as Mephibosheth with David. Christ with his disciples. So we read this in verse 20. When they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, had put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. He was clothed with shame. He was stripped naked at the cross. They took his clothes off and hung him up so that we would not be naked, but we would have a wedding garment. We would enter into heaven with a wedding garment, a garment that is given to us from God, that imputed righteousness that we have received, because it's the gift of God that we would be made righteous. This is the honor that God has given to you, that you have that. Wow. God has honored you. Just think about it. God has honored you and I. Yeah, maybe you haven't seen that honor, but you have it. It's written. It's true. We've been highly honored by God. We've been accepted in the Beloved. We've been called by His name. We've been imputed with righteousness. Our name is in the Book of Life. We are 100% accepted by God, never forsaken. Never forsaken. I will never leave you, never forsake you. Jesus said, of all the Father has given me, I have lost none. I have lost none. Isn't that amazing? So, we've gathered together today to think about our new birth and what we have because of Christ. I want you to think about how maybe some of you feel like this is happening to you today, that maybe you have lost something. Maybe you are ridiculed. Maybe you are not accepted. Maybe you feel shame or some kind of guilt of some kind. This happens in life. But our Heavenly Father is saying that this happened to my Son so that I would, this is God, God would say, I will always accept and honor you. You have inherited that by the new birth. You've been accepted in my family, and I want to know how abundantly favorable I am toward you because of this. That'll be our message this morning. After our song and our offering that we'll take, this will be our message. It will be, turn with me to 1 Peter, and we see the new birth in these verses, chapter 1 and verse 23. So 1 Peter 1:23, we'll look at that verse in our message about our new birth, what it means, how it affects our life in a very real way. And that'll be from 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 13 to verse 25. That's the effects of the new birth, and then it runs into chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And the point will be that I want you to see that because of our new birth, then we have a new lifestyle, a new way of thinking and processing life because of our new birth, because of what Jesus went through, and then he ascended into heaven. And he's given to us something extraordinary by the new birth and how it affects us. Okay, so that's that. Amen. I'm so glad you're here today. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor for a moment and just say, are you born again? Okay, you may be seated. I like this part of the service. You stand and talk, and I can spend a little time and look at you. And and just see you and enjoy that so much. The marriage getaway was excellent. I said that in the beginning. I heard about it. Andrew Garner spoke Friday night. I heard it was excellent. Dr. Wanda, we're just thankful. So much that happens without people arguing with each other. So much happens without people fighting. Is that Peter? Peter, good to see you. So much happens in a church where there isn't a lot of, what is it? What do we call that? A lot of drama or a lot of extra stuff. So that'll be our message today. There are five words in 1 Peter 2:1. I want you to memorize these words, and I want you to listen to the message and think about these words. 1 Peter 2:1. It'll come up on the screen. Wherefore, laying aside. It means get rid of, to get rid of. By the way, tomorrow I asked for prayer. I forgot to do it at the 9 o'clock service, but I can ask you to keep us. Tomorrow night, Barry Quirk and I fly to Hungary in Europe. We fly to Budapest. We used to live there. Some of the Hungarians are here and the people that have been there. We'll be there for 1 week. So ministering and meeting friends and having some meetings and talks and so on. So thank you for your prayers for that. Wow. Do you ever feel weak? Do you ever feel like you can't do it? Or do you ever feel like insufficient? Or maybe these words, get rid of, lay aside all malice. The word is kakion in the Greek. It means wicked ill will. All right, get rid of wicked ill will. Like, I would will on somebody else something bad. You know, I am kind of angry with them or jealous, and this word is an important word. You and I have to learn these words so that we are not thinking. These are sins of the thoughts and speech. So there are sins we commit by how the way we talk and how we think. Let me back up. Jesus was mistreated by the world, and he was quiet. He was mistreated, he was abused, and he took it, and it was a judgment. We also, in our hearts, in our lives, we can also be mistreated. That's really written at the end of chapter 2, isn't it? Maybe at the end we could look at it. Verse 23, chapter 2, verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Meaning, they made fun of him. He did not return it. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He had something bigger in mind. If you've been here on Wednesday night, we've preached a few times on this subject that my life is sometimes small and that God has a life for you and I that is bigger. And we have to get our eyes on something more than my pain or my trouble or my tendency to fight back. You hurt me, I hurt you. You slander me, I slander you. You cannot do it. Get rid of that. How could I get rid of it? Because we are born of God by an incorruptible seed, we have a capacity to live by faith and see what God will do with my small world here, my small world. The Lord will give us a heart. Enlarge our heart. 2 Corinthians 6:11. God enlarges your heart. Okay? Now, I want the anointing of God in the message. And I want to follow God in the message. And Jesus, we just pray you administer to these precious people that have come here today. Lord God, teach us. Lord, amen. I have a story here to read to you. A poor family up in New York City inherited a mother and two children, $10,000 from their father's life insurance policy. The mother was excited because she could get out of the ghetto life of Harlem, move into a little house with flower boxes in the countryside. The brilliant daughter wanted the money so she could go to medical school. But the older brother had an idea. He said, me and my friend, we can go into business. Give me the money. We'll make more money. We'll give that money back to you. And so the mother decided to do that. Give the money to the son and his friend. The friend skips town with the money. The desolate son has to return home and break the news to the family that their hopes for the future are stolen. Their dreams for a better life are gone. His sister lashes out with a barrage of ugly statements. She calls him every despicable thing she can imagine. She has no limits. When she takes a breath in the midst of her tirade, the mother interrupts her and says, I thought I taught you to love him. The daughter said, love him? There's nothing left to love. The mother says, this is a good statement, there's always something left to love. And if you haven't learned that, you haven't learned anything. Have you cried for your brother today? I don't mean for yourself and the family because we lost the money. I mean for him, for what he's going through. When do you think is the time to love somebody the most? When they've done good and things are easy for everybody? Well, then you haven't learned what love is. It's when he's at the lowest and can't believe in himself because the world has whipped him. When you start measuring somebody, measure him right. Make sure you take into account what he's going through. I say this story because I think this picture here, even though it's so confusing, is something like it. Let me say it a different way here. Here's my life. Here's that little family with the little money in their world. And then there is the world of love and the spirit. The world of love. Everything is like this. The mission is Singapore. Why go to Singapore? Because God is in Singapore. God sent them to Singapore. God has a plan for people in China, in Indonesia, Malaysia, the islands. It's about God. But I have to say, all of us have things that hurt and things that trouble us, and we get focused on those things so easily. And the purpose of this passage in 1 Peter is that because we are born again, then we actually have something, we have something more in our life. We have the Spirit of God. I want to walk you through this. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again. What is that, to be born again? Another word, Titus 3:5, is regeneration. Christ said it in John 3 to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You don't have to be a disciple. Discipleship, if you would be my disciple, if you would be, you don't have to be, but if you would be, but I'm telling you, you must be born again. You will not enter heaven without the new birth. Well, what is it? It is when you are believing in Christ and born of the corruptible, the incorruptible seed. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. You know, life is filled with seed. I remember reading about spiders. Spiders and spider eggs can go up into the air like 10 or 20 miles up in the sky. They can, by the air current, float around in the air, round to the other side of the world and land on some island in the Pacific Ocean. And spiders are there. Where do they come from? They came from Baltimore. You know, everything living has seed, pine cones, insects, animals, fish, everything has seed, but all that seed dies. But this seed that is born in you is the same as when Mary was told by Gabriel, that holy thing that is born in you, conceived in you, is called the Son of God. That did not come from any seed on the earth. It came from God. You know, when you believed in Christ, this seed was born, was brought into you, and you have Christ in you. So these five words where you can get rid of it are really in chapter 2 and verse 1. It's really possible. You can actually live in faith. We'll go back to chapter 1 and verse 13, and this is I want to break this down. It's not in order, but I want you to just catch the drift and read it on your own later. It's verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That's another way of saying, have a prepared mind. Your mind is important because you are born again of the seed of the Word of God. The Word of God is pure. The link between heaven and earth is really the Word of God. It's Christ, but Christ is the Word. Christ, the link between heaven and earth, is really God's Word. And when someone hears it, we are made like this. Human beings have speech. Isn't that amazing? We're just unique. We have speech. We have words. We hear them. We understand them. We connect with each other by words. And when these words are the Word of God, then those that hear and believe are born of the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. That having happened to us, we are able to gird up the loins of our mind. It's another way of saying having your mind prepared. I don't know about you, but my mind drifts, wanders, daydreams. He imagines bad things, bubbles up in my heart. These words that we're going to look at in a minute in 1 Peter 2. But the other possibility is meditation, thanksgiving, worship, praise. The other possibility is quoting the Bible. It's saying the Bible. It's reading the Bible in a room out loud. Sometimes when I do that in my office, I just read it out loud, and sometimes it seems to be alive. That word, oh, that's what I need. It's that word, that Bible word, that verse, that thought behind it, that rhema, that living word that is able to purify, it says in verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. It's obedience is by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's very important that you and I would learn how to be and walk Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled lives. Not in our flesh. Not in a program that is on the outside, but actually the Spirit and truth on the inside. So, verse 22, you purified your souls. You know, when I walk around, there's a women's seminar or a marriage retreat or the leadership or our trip to Hungary, and we will be with our sisters and brothers, and there will be something genuine in our hearts in verse 22. It'll be genuine obeying the truth through the Spirit. That this is by the Spirit of God we are obeying God. Let's make a little diagram here and make it clear. This will be my flesh or sarx is the, there's two words. There's the sarx is the old sin nature, and then there is soma for the body. We don't mean my flesh is in the meat on my bones. We don't mean that word, but we mean the old sin nature, the fallen nature of man, which is jealous, lustful, envious, angry, looking for revenge, justice. I hate my brother. What he did, he took our money, the only money we had. He took our money and lost it. And so the reaction is so easy and natural. But you have obeyed from the heart and by the Spirit. Why does it say that? Because the Holy Spirit is sent into the world so we would live a different way. We would have different thoughts. We would have different words. We would actually go to Singapore and preach the gospel to people we don't know. Well, why would we do this? Because the Spirit of God leads people. The Spirit of God helps us process our pain and our trouble and our disappointments. And when we have a marriage seminar or leadership retreat or we just meet together as a family, or a family is together, it's very easy for these relationships to run into hard times. But for us, we endeavor. We really want. We have to prepare our mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Go back to verse 13. Be sober. This is the word for self-control. You know, when I would like to get revenge on my brother for having taken the money, I would like to have self-control. Well, how can I have the self-control? I have it because I'm born again. Well, what do you do when you're born again? You are spirit-filled, and you are listening to the teaching that is able to gird up the loins of my mind so that when I run into these troubles, I'm going to be mature or capable of ministering Christ and maybe solving some problems by my love, by my faith, by my spirit, by my rejoicing, by my singing, by my quietness, by my silence, by my fervency. This is beautiful. So read with me now verse, we did 13, right? And then verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Here we go. I want you to follow this with me. This will be a few minutes more and we'll finish up, but this is so good. Well, you are an obedient child. Turn to your neighbor and just say, you're looking like you're an obedient child. I'm not sure, but maybe you're like an obedient child. Okay. Obedient child. What am I obedient to? The teaching. The teaching. What teaching? The teaching of God. The Spirit teaching us. The Bible teaching us. What is He saying to us? Like, don't be the way you used to be. Look at it. Look at the verse. Not fashioning yourselves. That means like conforming according to your previous way of life, your former lusts. Like maybe you used to be addicted to pornography. That's over. You don't do that anymore. You used to do it in your ignorance. Here it is. What does ignorance mean? You didn't know better. It bothered you, but you just did it anyway because no, I had nobody telling me not to. I had no reason not to do it. I was just living for myself. I was living conforming to my own lusts based on my own ignorance. I just did it. There are people that steal because they've always been stealing. We had a brother came here new into our church. He said, help me. What should I not do here with these people? Because I'd never been a Christian before. And I said, give me an example. Like he asked me to more specifically. He said, well, do you guys swear? I go, no, don't do that. Don't swear. No, stop doing that. So I told him, like, stop swearing. Don't swear in the parking lot. Don't swear in the meeting hall. Don't swear in the cafe. Don't swear in the bathroom. Don't swear on our property. And furthermore, don't swear in the car and at work and at home. Okay? All right, so do you see what we're saying here? We used to be this way, which we're going to read in a second. We used to do these things, but it's changed because we're born of God. And we have a purification that happens by obedience to God, by the Spirit of God. This important point. It's by the Spirit of God. Okay, go now to verse 15. The next verse, it says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Look up at the screen. We now are focused on holy. The flesh is focused on happiness. Do you know what they say in the world? Life is about being happy. I just want to be happy. I just want to live a happy life. I want to have a happy marriage. I want to have a good job and be happy. That's all that I want, to be happy. That's how people talk day and night, all the time. But how do you talk? How do you talk now? What do you think? I have found that happiness isn't all that it's cranked up to be. It's momentary. But I have found in the Spirit of God, and you have also, we have found another way. And that is, the nature of God is holy. And I mean, even if, excuse me, if I am suffering or I am in pain, but there's holiness, this is satisfying to us. And the best part about it is that it's real. And also that it's God. And also it's not momentary, it's eternal. It is not coming and going. Holiness is the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of God who dwells in you and satisfies your life and gives you this meaning and purpose where you are relating to a holy God, the living God, and you are together. You are joined together by the Holy Spirit, and you are in fellowship, and you're able to deny or put aside the things that I used to do because of the new birth, because of walking in the Spirit. Now, this introduces really the chapter for you of chapter 1. If you take some time and read it a few times through the week and kind of get a hold of, some of it will speak to you. By the way, when you come to a meeting like this one, you're going to hear some things. Some of the things are going to stick. Just like a piece of duct tape on your clothes, you know. Just kind of put it there and it's going to stick there. So some of these things that you hear, they will stick, and they will stick for 40 years. They will stick your lifetime. They will stay with you. This is the beautiful thing about God. God, the Spirit, wants to teach us and lead us in a new life. And that new life is an eternal life, and what we are saying and thinking has an eternal value. And I am believing that if you bring a glass of water to somebody in the name of a disciple, you will not lose your reward. That means that there is a value in our everyday life. That living in the Spirit of God puts treasure in heaven. It means there are values here that are carried over into heaven. Put your treasure in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt. Amazing. So we have good news there. Now let's just take a good look at the bad news. Okay. This is 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. About an hour ago, I said I was just going to be short. Message was going to be short. I was just finishing in a few minutes, okay? I was at an hour ago, though. Okay, look at chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. Now, this is what we used to do. We used to do this. Not every day, but some of it carried all the time. Some people have a problem being with other people. Some people, when they get in with a group, they start fighting. Sometimes in a family, there's somebody who's, one of these words is happening in a family. Look at the list. It's five words, and they are attitude and speech. All malice, all guile. Let's see, I have, guile means deceit, deliberate dishonesty. I used to be that way. You too. There'd be some kind of trick where I'm saying the same thing two different ways. You said it one way to your friend, say it another way to your mother. You know, you say the same thing. It's just not right. It's not clean. It's not true. It's kind of a form of being deceitful. Ananias and Sapphira did it with the apostles. If you remember the story in Acts 5, they sold for the money for they sold the house for so much. They lied to the apostles so that they would look like they were like part of the whole program that was happening, giving a lot of money to the apostles. But they were lying. And Peter said, you are lying to the Holy Spirit. You are being deceitful. You are not honest. Now, in the morning message, my wife is sitting over here, and I thought of something. It actually happened recently. I went to buy a used truck. I have a truck, but the brake lines went. And so I just decided one more breakdown, and I'm getting rid of it. And, I mean, this truck, I bought it for $2,800. We're not talking a lot of money. But I want to get a different one. But my wife doesn't like me buying junky trucks or junky cars, but I do because I like it. I don't know why. My car is 21 years old. You know, I don't know. New cars, I have no interest in new cars, but I like deals. That's why I go to Goodwill. You know, I want something for nothing, okay? You know, but then I if I buy a junky car and she, you know, I was thinking I could get some cash and then write a check out for with our joint account, and I could mislead her regarding the price of the truck if I have some cash, and then she'll think I only spent so much for it when actually I spent more for it, and it's still a junky truck. So I was thinking about this in my deep meditation. And I read Acts 5. I did. I turned there, read about how Ananias and Sapphira were deceitful, and I just saw to myself dropping dead in front of my wife because I lied to her. Or I was deceitful. Okay. Do you see that this is not good for a church to have these five words in this list? That's what I want you to remember. I want you to think about how bad church life can be if we have these words in our lives. How angry people can be. How dishonest, how it bothers us, how you're not being honest with me. You're not humble. You're not in the spirit. You are not an honest person. You are gossiping. You are talking. You are slandering. You're tearing down my brother or my sister. You're telling me things I shouldn't know anything about. I don't want to know anything about that. I don't benefit from it. I'm not a gossip. I'm not that way. I mean, this is how we talk when we are spirit-filled. This is how we live. This is how churches can be terrible places. That's why some people don't go to them. They are not even normal. They're not even normal. Like, you know, you could go to the bowling alley and have a better time with unbelievers. You know, something like that. I'm sorry to say it. That cannot happen. That cannot happen. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Here's the list. Hypocrisies. No, it was in your past life. But you cannot live like that now. Envies. Envy. Who can stand before envy? Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. But who can stand before envy? Let me repeat it. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. It's a proverb. But who can stand before envy? Well, envy is covered up. You know, people are smiling and polite and everything. But inside, you can't, that envy is going to get, that envy is going to say things. The envy is going to sow discord. The envy is waiting for somebody to fall. I remember the New England Patriot football team were winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl, and it was getting on our nerves. And we got voodoo dolls of New England Patriots, started cursing them. Cursing that football team, hating the football team. And so unless you're a fan like half of you are, I don't know. But listen, when somebody succeeds again and again and again, it can bother people. I want to take you down. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to attack you. I'm going to get you behind your back. I'm going to take you out. That cannot happen with us. Right? That's verse 1. Laying aside, get rid of malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. That's slander. As newborn babes desire the sincere or pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Get rid of the list in verse 1 and take on the habit of God's word in your spirit and in your worship, and learn how to love when somebody is unlovable. There's always something left to love. The mother said to the daughter, your brother has messed up. Your brother is in trouble. Your brother lost our money. We got many problems, but your brother is one thing we can't lose. We cannot lose your brother. We need to love. This is beautiful. And then we'll figure out how to solve our problem. Maybe God will give us what we need. God will answer our prayer. Come on. Let's live. We were born again. Let's live in our new life. Let's learn to forgive people. Let's live in the Spirit. Let's put on the Lord Jesus Christ and learn to love people, because God is in it. Amen. Lord, we are living in the fruit of this intentional life. Intentionally, we put you on. Seek you. Seek you. Stop it. Stop the indifference, the passivity, the carelessness. Stop it and put on the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we are victims of our passivity. Sometimes we are victims of our indifference. But we're going to put on you, Lord, and teach us. Yes, God, in Jesus' name. And then anyone listening who hasn't yet put your trust in Christ, do it today. Put your trust in Jesus. You'll be born again. It's that simple. Walk by faith in him. You might say, I don't know, will I experience something? Well, we can't tell you that. Maybe you will, maybe you will not, but walk by faith in him. He will take care of you. Trust in God. God will show you. God will teach you. God will open your heart. Pray to him. Walk with him by faith. It's exciting. It's precious. It's the way. It's the answer for your life. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.